This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
This is Charlottesville Right Now, and it's time for Fun Fridays with Haw Spencer.
When it's time to change, then it's time to change. Don't fight the tide, come along.
Your favorite song in the world, isn't it? See, I can picture you cruising along in a little convertible VW Bug with your 8-track in, playing this song right here, with like really, really super long hair flapping back in the breeze.
I did have the super long hair, but I never had the 8-track tape player. In fact, 8-tracks and cassettes, I was reading on NPR, or I guess I was listening on NPR.
Yes.
They were invented about the same time, and our family opted wisely for cassettes.
I didn't know they were invented at the same time.
Well, more or less.
So you're saying it was like a VHS beta kind of thing.
Yeah.
And cassettes won.
For some reason, 8-track took off for the music marketplace a little bit faster, and cassettes were more about like let's record these notes for this speech.
Indeed.
That's a Brady episode.
Yes.
But the cassette seemed to be the product of choice for dictation, whereas 8-track was the tape of choice for music. But as it turns out, the way the spacing was, there could be gaps in songs where they would have to pause for a couple of seconds before the song would start up again. In the 8-track, yeah.
I had 8-track.
Do you remember these pauses?
No, I just remember there were 4 tracks.
Yeah, why'd they call it 8-track when there were those 4 tracks?
I have no idea.
You had that goofy button and you could kind of jump
to
another
place. You had the button
place.
And it would jump from track 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, and 4 to 1. And yes, that was all you could do.
That's all you could
do. There was no fast forward. There was no rewind.
No rewind.
It was just if you want to go to the next track, wherever it happens to be at this moment.
Yeah.
And you always sort of knew when a song ended, you knew, if I change tracks now, I know where I'm going to go. Like if you knew your 8-track really well,
yeah,
you knew if a song ends on track 2 and there's a little pause, and if I press the track change now and go to 3, I know I'm going to be in the middle of that one song, or I know I'm going to be towards the end.
And you can't rewind.
There's nothing of that. You just got to play it. That was the only way you could move it.
Man, what a primitive world we lived in, Coy.
It was awful, wasn't it?
Oh!
In the last hour, Hawes, I was talking about, I was telling Channing that once upon a time, there was this place called the Finnish Basement, and it had shag carpeting and a big TV set and like wood paneling, and it's where the kids would hang out.
They don't still have that?
I don't know. I mean, you got a Finnish basement at your house, but it certainly doesn't look like that.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have the shag carpet, but it's got a big TV screen, and the kids hang out there.
Yeah, well, I guess maybe that's true, but the shag carpeting really did it.
Yeah.
It's really easy to lose Legos in shag carpeting. I learned that the hard way.
I'm sure you can lose a lot of things in shag carpeting.
So we have some breaking news. From the world of food, we are about to lose one of Charlottesville's fine hunger huts.
Well, unfortunately, we are. The Pato's Hams and Deli in the Barracks Road Shopping Center is going to close 14 years after it began.
Wow. You know, I can remember once upon a time when I wrote Restaurantorama for the Steve Weekly. I reported on their opening.
No way.
I did. And I remember thinking, what is a Pato anyway? What is that?
Well, that was like a big ham company for the longest time. I remember
like
you'd
a Boar's Head Meats kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You'd go buy a Pato's ham, and then they started these delis, or this deli, I guess.
Is it just this one?
I think it was a franchise.
Oh.
So I think there were others.
They were popular, though. They actually made it. Not easy to make it with a sandwich shop in Charlottesville.
It's not. You got to sell a lot, but apparently you got to sell a lot of sandwiches to pay the rent at the
Barracks Road
Shopping Center.
Is that what it is? Is that what they...
That's what they're saying. The owners gave an interview to The Hook's Dave McNair, in which they alleged that they were a little behind on their rent.
Ooh,
and then,
ouch.
Yeah. And then they just got the 7-day eviction notice.
The landlord said, I have to have the rent.
Yes.
So they're going to throw all their meat out on the sidewalk.
Apparently.
Oh, man. Yeah. So Pato's, if you want to get your Pato's, you got to go now. Because they're 7 days now? Just a week?
They're going to be closed. They're going to close their doors on Tuesday, February 22nd. That's just next Tuesday.
Oh, man. Well, that's too bad. There you go. The sad news for Pato's. And then, so I guess that might be... See, the thing about it is at Barracks Road, it's impossible to make it unless you're some big, wealthy chain. Am I right?
You could sell crack cocaine.
Well, I mean, in a storefront.
Oh, yeah.
Legally.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because the rent is so high,
yeah,
from what I've heard, that you got to be some big, huge corporation to have something in there.
Actually, this story that Dave McNair just wrote gets into that. He talks about how the rent is $30 to $40 per square foot, which is...
Ouch!
That's pretty high by Charlottesville, by Charlottesville standards.
That's crazy.
But, you know, it's a high traffic location, so... I guess they get it. And they also get, the other thing they get is they do triple net leases. That means the kind of lease where the tenant or the business is responsible for paying the insurance, the maintenance, and the property tax.
Really?
Yeah, and get this. And there's never also this like clause in your lease that says that you have to pay a percentage of your sales if you're selling a lot. So if you're like doing gangbusters, you pay this percentage instead of your base rent.
You mean you get a tax for doing well, basically?
You do.
Oh,
you do.
It's,
everybody wins, Coy.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
The people who own the building win. That's about it.
Well,
oh, man.
That, you know your Charlottesville history. You remember when that shopping center was built 52
Indeed.
Years ago, something like this.
Yeah, opened in 1959.
There you go. Yeah. That's 52 years ago. I got
Holy
it.
Cow.
I nailed it.
Did you nail it?
I nailed it.
Wow.
Well,
good job.
Actually, it's 51 and a half because I think it was opened that October.
That was the grand opening, but there were stores in there in the spring.
Okay, there you go.
As a matter of fact, what's the Staples was in there, I think, in March or April.
Are you serious?
Of 59, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So, boy, that's really something. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So if you do really, really well at Barracks Road with your store, they're going to, if you go over a certain amount in sales, they just take it from you.
Well, they take a percentage.
Oh, man.
Sorry, what about her?
What, you think I'm going to repeat the whole thing, then?
I know. You told me you like her. Everything's going good.
No, everything's not going good. I'm very uncomfortable. I have no power. I mean, why should she have the upper hand? Once in my life, I would like the upper hand. I have no hand. No hand at all. She has the hand. I have no hand.
The incomparable. You know who this is?
The
one, the only.
Charlie.
Speaking
Pride.
Of speaking of shag carpeted basements.
Okay.
He ain't ready for no family time.
Okay, Mac Davis.
Oh, way to go, Hawes Spencer.
Yeah.
Woo! This is a Mac Davis, yeah. Did he have a TV show? I can't remember.
Yeah, that's fine.
I can't remember. I know Glenn Campbell had a TV show, right?
He did, and a drinking problem to go with it.
I don't remember Glenn Campbell's drinking problem.
Oh, yeah.
Was it very well known?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's back in the day before the internet.
So, well, obviously, it must have been a pretty severe drinking problem.
Yeah, if you knew about it without the internet. Anyway, we were talking in the just a few minutes ago about Pato's.
Off the air.
You broke the news that Pato's Hams and Deli was going to close at Barracks Road Shopping Center. It will be no more in just a few days.
Yep.
So get your Pato to go right quick. Just a few doors down, there's going to be a new restaurant, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. There's
where Wild Greens used to be.
The Peter Chang restaurant is
going
to go into the
When's
Wild
that open?
Green space. I don't know. We should go knock in on that thing.
That should be soon, though, right? Because he's been talking about it forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Chang. And then that'll be really crowded.
That's the one that, like, Sissy Spacek and all the swells and people like Calvin Trillin from The New Yorker, they get all excited about it.
Yeah, yeah. People with money. They go, this is where they get their Chinese food. They just follow Chang around the country.
Oh, yeah. He's the...
They're Chang heads.
Yeah. What's that word? He's a...
Chang head.
No, yeah. But what's that word where people...
Chinese food.
Just interrupting me.
No, I don't know. What word?
Peripatetic.
Huh?
He's peripatetic.
What's that mean?
He moves around.
Peripatetic means moves around?
Yeah, I think
really?
So.
Really?
Yeah.
Sounds like it should mean something else.
Yeah.
Sounds like it should mean like really insightful.
Yeah.
Like you are incredibly peripatetic.
Well, you know, I remember there was a, when you and I were writing, I don't know if you were around for this, but somebody wrote about like a avant-garde housing project in Charlottesville called co-housing, and our headline called it co-pacetic housing, and somebody wrote in this meany head letter that was like, co-pacetic housing? I call it co-pathetic housing.
Ooh, ouch. My goodness.
That was so harsh.
It sounds harsh. So Chang will be coming in. Have I asked you about the Hibachi Grill yet? Have you been there? Did I ask you about this?
You probably did.
Do you like it?
No, I haven't been.
You don't like buffets? You're not a Golden Corral kind of guy.
I used to go to the Golden Corral once or twice because my kids insisted that we go there.
Yeah, kids like it.
I saw the widening of America before my very eyes. I didn't see a lot of Slim Jims strolling around.
I've had one of those moments. I actually had that moment at Chili's one time when I looked around and I realized, oh my God, America? What happened to you? You really let yourself go.
Yeah.
I mean, I was sitting in Chili's. This is a few months ago. And I do like Chili's. My son loves their steak. He loves the steak dinner. He just loves it. Ooh. And I will take him there if he asks for a big steak dinner. Because that's where he wants to go.
Yeah, I just never thought of Chili's as a big gorge all-you-can place.
I didn't either. But, Haas, every booth, every person I looked at, I couldn't believe it. And then, of course, you start saying, my God, am I that big? I mean, am I? Oh, my Lord. I mean, everyone was not just fat. They were really like, roll me over. I mean, just they let themselves go.
I see.
So anyway, but I didn't see that.
I'm sure it's an endocrine problem.
Yeah, of course it is. They inherit this. Yeah. It's the Hibachi Grill. I didn't see that problem there.
Uh-huh. Oh, I think I told you this story about it. That's Chinese food, right?
Yeah. It's actually pretty good. They got other stuff too, though.
I ordered a blender from China. It blended one beverage.
You told me that.
I'm never going to get over that. I mean,
I bought it off of
Amazon. I forgot to read the reviews. Like everybody has said, oh yeah, this thing will blend like three times. And for me, it was just once. And the funny thing is, I already have a blender, but I needed this one for a special purpose. And
like a Steve Martin special purpose, or just like something else. Because you could hurt
good
yourself
one.
That way.
Good yeah. one. Yeah, no, indeed. But like my old blender, the one I still use, is like from the 40s or the 50s. It's one of those Oesters. It looks like a beehive.
And it'll last forever.
Yeah.
That's when America made things, and we made things here, and we made it right.
Yeah. They also cost a fortune.
Well, you pay for quality, you know.
Yeah, but we're talking like $100+
for a blender?
Oh, dude. I mean, like, remember toasters? In the 50s, were like $50.
Wow.
And that's like 1950s bucks.
What did they do before? They just put it in the oven? Is that what you would do?
I think you'd like get out some kindling and you'd...
Way before that. So you bought this blender on Amazon. How much was it? $7-$8?
Oh, it's way too cheap to be good. It was $29.99. Oh, that was my first mistake.
You knew. I knew right then.
I knew. We just did a story in the hook about buy local, save your job. And I learned my lesson.
You just threw that in the garbage. You put that in the blender in Presco.
Yeah.
You used the blender once, and then you went to use it again, or did it break while you were using it the first time?
I was making a banana smoothie, and the bananas were smoothed up, and the milk was smoothed up, and the yogurt was smoothed up. I put in some ice cubes, and they got smoothed up. Or actually, I just put in some ice chips.
And for folks who don't know, you're like the smoothie king.
Dude, I'm the smoothie king.
You like
king.
Your smoothies.
Yeah.
And you consider yourself something of a smoothie connoisseur.
I do.
Indeed.
I can make a milkshake that's low-cal and delish.
And it's something you do every day. But not anymore since your blender broke.
No, I still have the old Oester.
There you go. So what'd you buy this new one for?
I had a special purpose.
Okay. So indeed.
That's my meth lab.
Yeah. Yeah. You were breaking bad with your new blender.
Yeah.
So did it broke while you were using it?
Yeah, just as it was finishing up the smoothie, it just started slowing down, and then it smoked.
Oh, I was going to say, was it smoking? Oh,
and then it just stopped.
You know you're totally hosed then.
Yeah.
Oh,
and it smelled really bad.
Oh, of course it did.
And did you know Glenn Campbell was arrested on drunk driving and hit-and-run charges in 2003?
I hope he got some help. Maybe he got in with Dr. Drew or something, or Dr. Phil, and fixed his problem. That's what we need. We need Glenn Campbell and Dr. Phil.
Glenn,
I'm worried about you.
After he was booked into the lockup, he kneed a sergeant in the thigh.
Oh, Glenn!
I've been walking these streets so long.
Now, the video is him walking down the road, looking very cool, very, got the big belt buckle, the tight jeans with the big, boot cut jeans, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Where hustle's the name
of the game. You crank this one. This is good.
I like this song a lot, actually.
Okay, this is the best line.
Yeah, here it comes.
Ain't a load of compromising on the road to my horizon. But I'm gonna be where the lights are shining on me.
Rhinestone Cowboy.
There you go. That's good stuff. That's Glenn Campbell. And you were telling me during the break that Mr. Campbell...
Well, we were talking about
dating Mac Davis, was it, or somebody?
He romanced a Mac Davis wife at some point.
Wow, you know, it's just too incestuous there in the Hollywood. My goodness. So Mac Davis, secretary, no, his wife.
I believe it was a former
hanging out with the Rhinestone Cowboy himself, Glenn Campbell. Where is Glenn Campbell? Is he dead or alive?
He's alive.
Is he alive? Is he still still having problems?
He's still making the music, but he's 74 now.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He's sort of a gray Rhinestone Cowboy.
Yeah, he's kind of a tombstone cowboy. No,
no,
sorry, that's not good.
74 is not old.
Sorry, whoops.
94, maybe that's a little old. That's getting there. But
he's a Naples, Florida cowboy. Now, I don't know. What
goodness gracious. So, the biggest news of the week before we get to our fun game here, what do you think the biggest news of the week is?
I think everybody's just... smiling about that Donald Trump stuff.
That was good. It was good. Donald Trump trying to buy a big estate in Albemarle County.
Yep. I mean, I put the bidding down in the story today just for people who were curious. Trump made the first bid, $2 million. And then this woman said 2.5. And then Trump came back, 2.75. The woman moved up to 3. Trump came back to 3.1. The woman said 3.5. Trump said 3.6. And then all of a sudden, this lady from the Bank of America stood up and said, "The bank and or its assigns bids $15.26 million." At which point, Trump's representative at the auction held up a finger and said, "I'll be right back."
Which finger? Like an angry finger or just a minute finger?
Just like an index finger.
Okay. Not that, yeah, not the angry finger.
Yeah, just a minute finger. Just a minute finger. Because I'll be right back.
And I'll be right back. I got to call Mr. Trump.
Yeah, and then a phone call
he
occurred.
He said, "You're fired."
And then they didn't come back and bid. But they said, you know, now we're going to try to negotiate with the bank and get this property. We still want it.
So Trump's still maneuvering behind the scenes, making the art of the deal.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the guy who wrote this book, The Art of the Deal, has figured out a way to ensnare all the Kluge properties. And the way he did that was he found that the property held in trust in a trust for the son of Patricia Kluge had a right of first refusal, which means a right to buy any of the Albemarle House property at the same price. Did I say that right?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. But well, it looks like it looks like he's going to do it, basically, then.
Well, it looks like he's certainly going to try.
Yeah. Well, already tried.
Well, he was certainly trying to get it for a fire sale price. When you start the bidding at $2 million and you're kind of moving up in $100,000 increments here and there.
Yeah, it's not going fast enough for the bank. They're like,
no, the bank
let's cut
lady,
to the chase.
Yeah, she was kind of like looking at her watch going, 15 and a quarter, thanks. So
my goodness.
The bank gets to keep it.
But we still don't know what he wants to do with it.
We don't. We do not indeed.
But he's not going to live there. It's going to do like a Keswick Hall kind of thing. That's my guess. He's going to do like a resort.
Well,
like a fancy hotel.
Well, here's the thing. Donald Trump's representative is a lawyer who also works for Patricia Kluge and William Moses, which suggests an amicable partnership of sorts could be brewing. Behind the scenes, where maybe the Patricia Kluge-Bill Moses team could continue to produce their... what are arguably very good wines.
So you think the Kluges went to Donald Trump and said, "Hey, help us out here.
I think
leverage your way into this deal. Here's what we want to do."
Patricia Kluge has a lot of friends in New York City, and if you told me that Donald Trump was one of them, I would not doubt it for a heartbeat.
Wow. Really interesting.
Yeah.
So with the Trump-Kluge partnership possibly brewing behind the scenes, speculation says. Informed speculation.
Well, and also, when you think of like a baronial mansion like that, That's not really a popular architectural style with today's hipster billionaires.
It ain't green, put it that way.
It what?
It ain't green.
It ain't green. And it's kind of, you know, fussy. It's, you know, it's got like niches for statuary and, you know, like big porticos and things. And the...
How many rooms is it?
Oh, it's got 13 bathrooms, 8 bedrooms.
Oh, gosh, 13 bathrooms.
And I mean, like, it's got
you
like
could
grand
sit every,
hallways.
You could sit every day and never sit in the same place twice for a week, for almost 2 weeks. That's really something.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the bathrooms.
Yeah, I find that fascinating.
Koi.
How many bedrooms?
8, which is, you'd think there'd be more, because, I mean, like,
there's... For 13 bathrooms, yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe people over there got to go. But, you know, like, what's that guy, Mark Zuckerberg, the billionaire guy who owns Facebook?
Yeah, how about that?
He doesn't even own a house. He rents.
That's smart.
I guess so.
In this market, because you're not getting your money out of it.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Maybe now's a good time to buy.
That's what they say, but they're all real estate agents saying that. Yeah.
I hear there's a lot of inventory out there.
A lot of inventory. So did you see that movie, the Facebook movie?
I did see the Facebook movie.
Did you see the King's Speech movie?
I haven't seen the...
Did you see the Black Swan movie?
Haven't seen that one
either.
Did
you see the True Grit movie? You ain't seen nothing.
I ain't seen...
You ain't seen nothing yet. But what did you think of the Zuckerberg movie? Did you like it?
I thought it was pretty enjoyable. I mean, what do I know?
But the Oscars are coming up on us. You better see these movies so you can be an informed viewer.
They certainly make him out to look like a tool, but according to some of the interviews I've read, he certainly sounds like one. I mean, those rich, square-jawed twin brothers.
The Guccitachi twins, whatever their names are. They're in the Olympics.
The Winklevosses or something.
Yeah. Now they're back for more. They're coming back to the trough. They're like, we want more.
Well, they've got... I mean, they got stacks of emails where, you know, they had been trying to work with Zuckerberg, and they're like, yeah, can you do this coding for our site?
Yeah, he was screwing
up. And he was sending them these things like, oh, yeah, I was busy. Yeah, yeah, I'll get to that real
totally
soon.
Leading them on. So letting them think that he's building this for them, and he's building it for himself.
And meanwhile, they can't, like, hire somebody else to do the coding. And so he's kind of meanwhile going, ooh, I think we're onto something here.
Yeah.
Connecting people. That's a
good
idea.
Oh, he screwed him. Woody's with us in North Garden. Woody, did you see that movie?
No, but I want to talk about a word that Haas has coined.
Yes, it is. What is it?
Baronial?
Baronial. I heard that word.
Like, hey, I love it.
I didn't coin that. I stole that from somebody.
You stole it from the Finkelwoss twins, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm thinking a big story. Trump comes to Charlottesville.
He could be coming.
Actually, it's Albemarle County.
His money's coming.
Yes.
Maybe.
Carry on, gentlemen.
All right, Woody, take care. Thanks,
Woody.
Woody, you're my favorite deputy.
There you go.
I just saw Toy Story 2.
No, 3.
I know, but I just saw 2. I told you, dude, I'm behind the times.
Where have you been, man?
I don't know, but it was a good movie.
Holy cow. There's this movie out. You should see it. It's called Godfather. You want to check that out.
Oh.
How far back are you? How far behind are you?
I've actually seen Godfather 1 and 2.
Yeah. Boy, that good. 2 is my favorite.
I've heard they glued all 3 together. And put them in chronological order so you can watch this whole thing. Yeah.
Interesting. What'd you think of Toy Story 2? Have you seen 3 yet?
No, of course not.
3 maybe.
But I saw 2, and the criminal guy was the voice of Newman from Seinfeld, Wayne Knight, the actor.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Newman. Hello, Newman.
So we were talking about Seinfeld a minute ago.
Yeah.
Because I said something about how the Barracks Road Shopping Center has a lot of power, what on Seinfeld would be called hand.
Yes, that's what they say. I have hand, like as in the upper hand. And certainly Barracks Road,
they've got hand.
Oh, they got big hand. I mean, if you have a rule that says that if you make a certain amount of money, over a certain amount of money in your business, and Barracks Road gets to tax that basically, that's unbelievable. Who heard of that?
That's hand.
That is big hand. Haas Spencer is live in studio, and it's time to play a little Dead or Alive. Haas, we begin with this. This is one of my favorite TV theme songs of all time. It's definitely in the top 5, even though I wasn't crazy about the show, but I love the song.
It's glorious.
It is, isn't it? Makes you just want to, like, take off your shoes and, like...
It's like a gay spring day, isn't it?
It is indeed. So, Hope Lang, who starred in The Ghost of Mrs. Muir...
Oh, yeah.
Is she dead or alive? Hope Lang starred as the mom of these kids?
I just remember... Oh, The Ghost of Mrs. Muir.
That's what this TV show is. That's what the theme song is.
Oh, man. She's not going to be young. I would say... alive.
She's indeed dead. She died in 2003, sad to say, of something called colitis, whatever that is.
Oof.
Doesn't sound pretty.
Doesn't sound good.
Oh, gosh. Another Lang, Ted Lang, not related...
I know who that guy is. My favorite part is in the opening credits of his show.
Yeah.
Where he like does the double snap finger point at you, the viewer.
I'm coming
to that guy's bar.
You are indeed. We got to go to the guy who's doing the double snap point.
I would go to any bar where they do the double snap point at me. That
indeed.
That has got to be the most welcoming thing. Even though you'd think of pointing a finger as not being that welcoming, the double snap point.
And I think somebody, if you're not necessarily a bartender, I think you could still get away with that. That should be a new hip thing.
I'm going to try the double snap point at everybody I meet tonight.
You should do it. Double snap point.
It's so welcoming.
Both fingers.
Both fingers.
And then the snap. And then the point.
And the point.
That's... Isaac, played by Ted Lang,
yeah,
on The Love Boat.
If he's anything but alive, I'm going to be devastated.
He is indeed alive. Guess how old he is?
He's probably about 69.
Wow, that's pretty close. He's 64 years old. That means he must have been pretty young.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't. He was a reasonably young guy when that cool show came out.
Yeah, he was. He was not
the show for 70s TV has been.
Yeah. Dude, that was such a great show, wasn't it?
That was a great show.
Oh, I loved it. All right, now I got one for you. And I'm going to play their favorite song. My favorite song of theirs, which, oh boy, this just takes me back to the autumn of 1984.
This is the Cars. Who's going to take you home?
This is indeed the Cars. Does this not take you back to like September, October of 1984?
It does.
Indeed, with your convertible VW Bug and your long hair.
Couldn't afford it, but yeah, go ahead. Who's gonna tell you when
it's too late? Rick Ocasek is the singer and the rhythm guitarist for this group called The Cars.
Yes.
Is he dead or is he alive?
Dude, that guy is alive. And
he is indeed. Good job, Oz.
And I'm connected to him by like one or two... what are those Kevin Bacon things called? Degrees of separation.
Degrees of separation? Get out. Dude, really? Because you know Kevin Bacon?
No, because I know filmmaker Barry Sisson. And Barry Sisson...
Who did The Station Agent?
He did The Station
One
Agent.
One of my favorite movies.
And he also did a film called Charlie's Party.
Never heard of it.
It was kind of a bomb.
But you got to do that every once in a while when you make films.
Yeah, his most recent film got pretty good reviews, but it didn't get enough reviews, which was called Familiar Strangers. But before that, he did Charlie's Party, total bomb. But one of the actors in it was Rick Ocasek's son.
Wow. So you have what's that, 3 degrees of separation then?
I think that's...
Oh, that's impressive. I got goosebumps.
Yeah, that's 3 degrees of separation between me and Rick Ocasek.
Wow. Who's gonna pay attention? That is amazing.
Oh, what a charmed life I live.
Didn't he marry some model?
I think he probably did.
Yeah, I can't remember. How old do you think he is, Rick Ocasek?
I'd say Rick Ocasek is probably 56.
Like you're doing math. Were you really doing math?
I was doing math. I think he's 56. Come on.
He's 61. But that's close enough. That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
That's pretty darn good. All right, Piper Laurie, actress. She played the mom. I think she played the mom in Carrie, which was scary. Carrie was scary.
The religious zealot who threw the knife, who was going to like stick the knives in the daughter, and then something else happened.
The crazy "Let us go pray, Carrie. Let me put you in your prayer closet."
And what did she call the woman's mammary gland? Her daughter's mammary glands? Nasty pillows or something? Or naughty pillows? That is a great movie.
That's the funniest thing anybody's ever said on this show. Naughty pillows.
Naughty pillows.
I don't remember that at all. Piper Laurie, dead or alive?
I think she died recently.
She's alive and well.
Ah.
How old is she?
Okay, I think she's alive. Sorry.
How old do you think she is? She's in her 70s.
Well, then there's not much left to guess.
She's already 79.
Woof.
She's up there.
She's up there. You know, I think she was actually lured out of semi-retirement for the Carrie role.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so she was already sort of done.
She was already not really busy in Hollywood at
that point.
Did
you see that movie? Scare you?
Love that movie.
What scared you? The naughty pills?
Well, I just love it because who doesn't love the idea of wrecking havoc on meanie heads?
Yeah. And you know who was in that movie? John Travolta.
You better believe he was.
He's a Scientologist.
I don't know what that means.
Planet Xenu and all that good stuff.
All right.
There you go. All right. How about let's go to this one. Mr. Brian Keith played Uncle Bill in the TV series Family Affair. He was in the movie The Parent Trap with Haley Mills, by the way. Is Brian Keith dead or is he alive? This is your thinking music.
Coy, any man who lives in a swanky New York apartment where the doorknob is right in the center of the door.
You know you're cool
which
then.
Which has never been done before or since at any edifice anywhere in the world. That is basically the power of everlasting life, and there cannot be a death when you have that kind of doorknob.
Brian Keith, sadly, is very much past. He passed away at the age of 75 in 1997 by his own hand.
Oh!
How about them apples?
Maybe.
And you know that other woman died, too. The little girl.
Oh, the girl died when she was 12, dude.
From drugs.
That was like the youngest famous person to have a drug overdose I've ever heard of. 12 years old
drug overdose.
I mean,
yeah, I want my kid in movies. Yeah. I want my kid to get into the movie business and the entertainment business. Yeah, that's awful.
That is awful.
God, that poor kid. Jack Kemp, football player turned politician. I've actually interviewed him. Very, very nice guy. Is he dead or alive?
Isn't he alive? Jack Kemp's dead?
He just died.
When?
2009. In May of 2009. He had the big C.
Wow.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, I've got his hair.
We'll have to find out about that next week. Hoss Spencer, thank you, sir. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.